You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am one of the co-hosts of this wonderful podcast. And on today's episode, I am going to be doing a player review for Wesley Matthews, the short-lived Pacer career, about 23 games. I believe he played in a Pacer uniform, four more in the playoffs, with 27 total. I'm going to break down his small season with the Pacers. And then I'm going to go on a huge rant about why I think he should not have been signed by the Pacers in the first place. I'm recording this podcast as the NBA Finals takes place. It is halftime of that game with the Raptors up by 3 points, according to my TV. To listen to the rest of our other shows on this wonderful podcast, you can check out Tony and I did a weekly show yesterday that you guys should check out if you haven't listened to yet. We talked about a bunch of things, including Victor Oladipo's 75-yard run at the University of Miami, some of the Woj report, stuff like that. Check that out. If you listen to this podcast on a Friday or after, the Locked On NBA mock draft is out. You check that out. Tony and I did one, or really I did one for the 18th pick. Tony gave me some information, and I recorded it. Check all 30 of those picks out. They're really cool, really interesting, so you should listen to that. As always, you can follow the podcast at Locked On Pacers. And as always, next week, like we said in yesterday's podcast, we're going back to 5 days a week for the next couple weeks with the draft and free agency. So look forward to that. We are going to be going a mini full-time run midsummer, and then we'll cut back to once a week once all the free agency stuff dies down. That's all the announcements I got. Let's move today's podcast on Wes Matthews. So Matthews had a okay little run with the Pacers. In 23 games with the Pacers this season, he averaged 10.9 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 2.4 assists on really just not a great shooting percentage of 38.6% from the field, 37% from three, and 85% from the line. So not a terrible three-point shooter. He took about half his shot, but really more like two-thirds of his shot from the three-point line. And he was fine. I mean, the Pacers had signed him to be kind of to let them keep the rotation and to be somewhat of a Vic make up kind of the points that he scored. Obviously, he could not come all the way Vic did. You know, Vic averaged 18.8 points per game, but combined with Matthews, combined with the improved play of Thad and Bojan, they got kind of the extra points that Vic was putting per game back up. Defensively, Matthews is not in the same level as Victor Oladipo, but he is a competent defensive player, better than some of the point guards they had on the Pacers bench. Overall, I thought it was an okay season for him with the Pacers, where he did do what he was brought in to do. He wasn't fantastic. He was kind of the level player he thought he'd be for a 32-year-old guy who tore his Achilles, I believe, 4 seasons ago. Really has not been the same since he tore his Achilles and signed with Dallas. He just had kind of what to expect. He was a nice fill-in. He helped the team win a few games here or there. He kept them afloat. Get them in that 3-seed race for a while. Obviously, they fell off, but he's the reason they probably didn't fall off to like the 6th seed. I mean, I think some of that had to do with just how many games they were up going into that, going with, you know, those last 25 games without Vic, whatever it was. But he helped kind of stem some of the tide and keep the Pacers at least a top 5 seed, which was helpful in a way. In terms of his future with the Pacers, I see none. I don't see any reason for him to be re-signed. You know, he was very okay. They cannot re-sign him to anything other than like, I believe what I don't remember the numbers, like $5 million, $4 million per year. That might be what he gets in the open market, per se. I don't know. But that's about what they can afford. That's about what they can give him based on cap restriction and cap rules. I just don't see him returning because I don't see any players having any need to have a shooting guard at the spot he has simply because they have Victor Oladipo coming back. He's the player he would replace. If Vic is going to start game one next season, then I think it's okay. I don't think they need Matthews. In terms of guards, you know, he can't really play point guard. He's more of a small forward shooting guard, which is fine. But the Pacers bring back Bojan and Vic returns healthy. They just absolutely have no need for a guy of Wes Matthews' level. Matthews is also going to be 33 years old. He just isn't – be 33 in October. He just isn't that good anymore. I mean, I think he's fine. He's a nice little veteran. He provides some of that experience. He's been in a lot of big playoff games with Portland back in the day. He's a guy who – professional at, you know, in terms of he can come in and won't disrupt your locker room. He's can help mentor your young guys a little bit. But I just, there's not a lot of value for me with Wes Matthews besides the off the court stats and all because his stats are not that good. I mean, his stats were just very, very below average in terms of this season. I mean, 11 points per game is great first 23 games, but the shooting percentage is terrible. I mean, he basically couldn't make any other baskets. So if you look at it, he basically made one other basket per game besides three. So he got about 6.3 of his 10 points from threes per game. He was able to put in about another two from the line. That's about 8 points. Then he scored one other basket per game. For a guy to play shooting guard or to play small forward in this league, he's got to be able to make some 2-point shots. I would say he's got to be able to finish the rim for two or three a game and then a couple threes to be really good. Or, I mean, even if he's averaging 10 points, it can't be on the 31 minutes. So, like, if you're having 10 points on 20 minutes, we have a whole different discussion right now. But it's the 10, 11 points on 31 minutes that's sort of not great, because a guy playing that many minutes should be able to score 12 to 15 range, especially a guy who's playing in a spot where the offense is driven around a lot of times the shooting guard and small forward. So it should lead to more opportunities, per se, especially because he wasn't the number one option. So, like, he should have been able to find some more opportunities to get buckets. That's all I can say. I mean, his passing isn't in superb. His rebounding isn't superb. His defense isn't superb. All of it is fine. It's not like terrible, but it's all just very mediocre. And the best thing he can do is stretch the floor for you. And that's why he would fit in terms of like the fifth guy off your bench, because you can play with a bunch of other, you know, stretch the entire floor and play with an outside shooter. But in terms of like a rotation starting player, probably not. The team probably fits for him next year as some kind of team that is in the, you know, trying to make a championship run and just needs a guy. You know, we say this a lot, but like Houston's probably a decent fit for him. Golden State might be, where he doesn't have to play 31 minutes. He can play 20 minutes. He can help stretch the floor at times, be your bench unit guy, get you 6-8 points, get you a couple threes, and just be fine. And that's kind of probably where the rest of his career is. And a guy like that probably is going to make more than $5 million per year. I think the room exception is going to be close to 5 next year. It was about 4.4 this year, with the cap's going up about 10% or a little less, maybe 9%. So, you know, I wasn't super impressed with Matthews this year. Overall, I thought he had a very okay Pacers season. But, you know, I really wish they would have brought in or not brought him in general. I think they could have used his minutes elsewhere. And that's what I want to do next. So after a quick break, I'm going to talk about why I was so against the Pacers signing Matthews in the first place. All right, welcome back in. So if you've listened to this podcast at any moment over the last 3, 4, 5 months, I guess we are in June by now, I was adamantly against signing Wes Matthews for the simple reason that once Vic went down, the season was over. And what I meant by that is the Pacers might make the playoffs still, but they weren't going anywhere. And shocker, what did they do? They didn't win a single playoff game, so it's like they didn't make the playoffs to begin with. You know, to me, it didn't matter if I was for the Pacers, whether they were the 3 seed or the 7 seed, whatever it was, they weren't going to win a first-round playoff series probably. So why is it, from that point forward, it should be about developing the young players, getting guys opportunities they normally don't have. And they did part of that. They gave Bojan a real opportunity to be the number one guy, and that allowed him to flourish, and that showed some signs that this guy could maybe be your bench unit offensive player. So that worked there. But bring Matthews in, essentially all it did was, the word that comes to mind is not great, it's like cock block, essentially. Aaron Holiday from being able to play minutes. You guys can laugh at that and tweet that. It's what came to my mind. Like, basically prevented Holiday from being able to play big minutes with the Pacers or any significant moments. So you look at it, since Matthews got signed, Matthews was signed by the Pacers, I believe, towards mid-February. Let me pull up the date real fast. So he became a Pacer. His first game with the Pacers was on February 11th. After that February 11th, Aaron Holiday DNP'd 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 games. He DNP'd 13 games, and he played less than 10 minutes in 4 of those games. So, do the math real quick. He basically didn't play in 17 games, right? So that's 70 games he didn't play in of 23. He got decent minutes in about 8 of them. And in those 8 games he had decent minutes, he was pretty good. This was an 8-game sample size of him playing about 21 minutes per game, but Aaron Holiday shot 46% from the field, 48 from three, 66 from the line, took 7 shots per game, 3.4 threes, scored 9.4 points, had 3.5 assists and 1.5 rebounds. I mean, that's a pretty good stat line. And if this, that's like an 8-game stretch, if they could have given Matthew some of Holiday's minutes. We might have seen the flourishing out of Holiday earlier, which might have paid more dividends in the future, because I think the Pacers did, by not allowing Holiday to play big minutes and basically saying, we don't trust you yet. And it would make sense that they were really in the hunt for the playoffs, but they really was kind of a fake hunt because they weren't going anywhere. They basically set back his timeline. So, I mean, example, next season Holiday might be a rotation player, right? Well, they could have seen as a rotation player this year, which in his eight games where he played 20 and after 20 minutes, he was probably worth being a rotation player. He was a plus minus of 0.4 points on the court. So let's not talk about his defense. I mean, the time he was on the floor, the team was playing pretty well. He was contributing, whether it was him specifically on defense playing well, or just the team in general was okay defensively. You may could have seen he could be a rotation player now, and he could have had a shot to be a starter next year, but instead you kind of set him back. And remember, Holiday isn't one of these 19-year-old rookies. Holiday is a 21-year-old rookie, which means he has played 3 years in college, which means he is pretty much has to prove himself in the next, pretty much between 22 and 23, doesn't really have room to grow, or doesn't have room to develop, you know, into a player. He's got to prove he's an NBA player this year or next year, or it's done for him, essentially, because of his age. And I don't want to go too much into Holiday because I'm going to do a whole podcast on him for Monday, breaking down his player, his whole season. But essentially, the Pacers signing Matthews blocked him, and that was a huge deal, which is nothing against Matthews, who I said was a fine player this year. But Matthews' minutes hurt Aaron Holiday from playing minutes. And at the same time, it sort of made the Pacers team feel like they had this false hope that they had to be good or whatever it is. They had to be competent. They had to, you know, basically focus on trying to get a 4-5 seed for the inevitable first-round playoff loss, which is admirable because it shows that as a team and organization, you're committed to winning, but at the same time is not being realistic about your expectations and not trying to develop players. I mean, you should have seen TJ Leaf play more minutes. You should have seen, you know, Miles Turner and Sabonis play more together. I mean, all of it by bringing Matthews in, basically locked in this lineup, says basically we're going to play the same way we played with Vic, but with Matthews and Vic's spot, which meant they had the same rotation, the same everything, which means you saw none of these things develop, like Sabonis and Turner, I think is a big one. They saw none of them, they didn't play together at all, so there was no development in that way. We don't know whether that can work still, which means that really, we want that next year, which means that we're still another year away from having to trade one of them if they both can work together. We don't know if that could work. I have my doubts about it, but we never learned that. We don't know anything about TJ Leaf or Edmund Sumner or Alizé Johnson. I mean, we don't know any of the stuff about any of the guys, and a lot of it has to do because they signed Matthews. They basically locked their team into the same way it was all year, which made sense if the Pacers were a team that hadn't made the playoffs or weren't going to make playoffs anyways, because they were so far ahead, they'd probably still make the playoffs, and they were, whatever reason, were just trying to be like, let's say they hadn't made the playoffs in 4 years, and this year they had a chance. Like, that's understandable. You know, if they were in a Magic position or a Hornets position, I would understand them just trying to make the playoffs this year, but the Pacers are a playoff team. They've been a consistent one for, what, 8 of the last 9 years? They missed it basically that 1 year that Paul George got hurt. They're a consistent playoff team. They're consistently, really, it seems like somewhere from like a 3-6 seed. I mean, they're always in it. And so, like, if they had not brought in Matthews, just kind of tried to play the guys they had and give other guys a bit of minutes, and let's say they had an even worse run. Let's say they had a really bad February and they had finished as the 6th seed per se, or even the 7th seed. Would that be any different than what happened in the playoffs? Would you care if they got swept by Boston or got swept by Toronto or got swept by Philly? It wouldn't matter because you'd say the same thing like I'm going to say now is that Vic didn't play. The series doesn't matter. If they had Vic, things would have been totally different. They might have been a top 2 seed if they had Vic. So that's just why I was against Matthew signing in the first place, because it didn't really make any sense except as kind of a way to your guys of like, well, we're trying to win, you know, give us credit for that when we get a, you know, does that build your credibility in the NBA that you're trying to win games and that's the goal of winning basketball? Maybe it does, but the Indiana Pacers, not like they're going to sign a big free agent. And I'm not sure you're going to get credit the other day that like, oh yeah, we made the move to try to win instead of sacrificing it all or instead of throwing it all away and going in kind of a tank mode and letting young guys play. We actually tried to win games to make our veterans happy. But like some of the veterans on the team, you don't want back anyway, so it doesn't matter. I mean, it's to me, it still made no sense simply because Aaron Holiday was there. He had showed some sense he could be a good NBA player. You should have just played him a lot of minutes, throw him out there, let him figure it out. I don't think you're going to hurt him by letting him play 25 minutes or 20 to 25 minutes per game. And if, you know, you played Sumner a little bit here, there too, Leaf a little bit more, whatever, and experiment a little more, it would have been okay. And it still bothers me. And I guess if Holiday starts off the 2019-20 season and plays really well and becomes a rotation player, then I guess it's all moot point, whatever. If, you know, if they don't trade Sabonis, one of Sabonis and Turner, they end up playing together and play well, it's all moot point. But it just, the Pacers were given a real opportunity to kind of experiment and try out things because of the Vic injury, where nobody would have faulted them if they tried these random lineups of interesting guys, whether they're, you know, trying to play Thad at the three or whatever it was. Nobody would have been like, oh, this is stupid. You know, they're in the middle of a playoff. They would have been like, this team is trying to figure out how to make up for Vic's offense. They're trying to figure it out. It's not a big deal. I think even Pacers fans would have been okay with it as long as you saw they were kind of trying, because they probably, you know, they still had a terrible March, so it's not like they won that many games after Vic's injury. They had a pretty good February just simply because of the schedule, but I don't know. It just, the Wes Matthews signing, in hindsight, still, I think I can say I was proven right. In hindsight, it still wasn't worth it because the team did not win a single playoff game. I want to know what you guys think, to be honest. I know there's kind of, I know Tony, at least, is a big, Wes Matthews was a good signing. It helped the team, you know, remain competitive, whatever. But I want to hear what you guys have to say. So you can tweet at me at FreedomAdam5. You can tweet the podcast at LockedOnPacers. Let me know what you think about Wes Matthews. Do you think he should return? I don't think he should, and I don't think he will, but maybe you guys think differently. I don't know. You can also follow Tony, my co-host, at TEastNBA. You can check out this podcast on the app Himalaya. It's a great podcasting app. You get all Locked On podcasts, like Locked On Colts. That's other Locked On Reds, Locked On Cubs, all the whatever one of fan you are, you can get those podcasts on the Himalaya app. That is all for Locked On Pacers podcast, and I will see you guys again next week. We'll